Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And also, we're on Rapture Ready Radio on Blog Talk Radio. So we want to give a big hello to our new listening audience there. And we also have a website, propheticnews.com. And a YouTube channel, which is under my name, and a new book, which has been out actually for a few months, Seed Faith. Can a man bribe God? How false teachers manipulate and hypnotize you for offerings. So now we know now it's January, and so the false prophets and the false teachers, they're very busy in January because they tell you that January is first fruits because it's the first of the month. It's the time when we have to bring our first fruits to God. Otherwise, God will be mad at us and we won't have a good year. But really, God never gets the money. Anyway, what's he going to spend it on? What is God going to spend money on? It usually goes to people like Rod Parsley. It goes to people like Paula White. It goes to people like Robert Morris. It goes to people like John Hagee. It goes to people like Wayne T. Jackson. Oh, it goes to them. It doesn't really go to God because God doesn't have a bank in heaven. So, but they want you to believe that. And actually, Paula White now, she's really slick, this one. She wants 1 month of your salary. She wants 1 month of your salary. Or if you can't give a month, then she says that you should probably give a week. Yeah, you should give a week. Now, come on, really. But I must say, she is quite slick with her first fruits presentation for the simple-minded who don't read their Bibles and they don't really know that. When the Bible says seek first the kingdom, we seek first the kingdom. We mind the kingdom's business, and we don't have to give first fruits offerings. But Paula White, she tells you that that's part of seeking first the kingdom is to give to give your first fruits. Well, she throws that in there anyway. Let me bring on my guest, the Wolf Tracker. Hello.
Good afternoon. God bless you. Thank you for having me on.
Yes. It's always good to have you on. And we want to talk about first fruits. First fruits. And tell us now about your project, your first fruits project.
Well, those of you know that last year we did a 30-day trial on Paula, and that trial came with, of course, 30 recorded episodes on the Wolf Tracker broadcast. In addition to the 30-day trial and the 30-day broadcast, we had outlines for each broadcast. So those are archived, and if anyone wants the notes so that they can tune in to the 30-day trial, in which I dismantle, I take Paula White's First Fruits teaching as it is documented in her favorite book, and according to Paula, her most anointed book. It's the most anointed book she's ever written. And so,
I guess it's anointed when you're asking people to give 1 month, give 1 month's income. What?
Exactly.
Over your tithes and offerings?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
what kind of anointing is that?
Yeah, people can go to the Wolf Tracker broadcast, and they're all there. Just go back to January 1st, 2016. They're all there. And if you want the outlines, just email me at wolftracker14@gmail.com, wolftracker14, and we'll send you the outlines. And this way you can follow and you can see how really silly and stupid and asinine and foolish Paula White's First Fruits thesis is. Now, of course, she's going to say, I never said to give 1 month. But, the thing is, when you committed to print, because, she'll probably say that, she never said that, or it's like the time that Eddie Long had that bogus rabbi show up at his church and crown him king. And they said, they asked Eddie Long, where did you get this guy? Oh, Paula White sent him to me. And then Paula denied, I don't know that man. I don't even know who he is. And then another guy said, no, there's a whole show. You did a broadcast with this guy. No, I never did a broadcast. Yeah, he was on your broadcast. He was on the Paula White broadcast. No. So the rabbi said, are you calling me a liar? And, the rabbi produced a video, the half-hour video, where the guy wrapped her around a Torah. So Paula gets lapses of amnesia. But the problem is that there's a gazillion copies of a book, First Things First, out there. And she does say, to give a one-month salary. If you give the one-month salary, gone really be impressed and do some phenomenal things for you.
No, her God, the God of this world, will do some phenomenal things for her.
Exactly.
That's what'll happen.
Exactly. So, but,
that email address again if they want the outline?
Yeah. WolfTracker14@gmail.com. WolfTracker14@gmail.com. Now, there is a rumbling out there. There's word that three new books are coming out on Paula, and you can have them for free. All you have to do is ask the author for them, and just email Palacio, P-A-U-L-A, Paula, just type in Paula, and then Chio, C-C-H-I-O, Palacio, @gmail.com, and ask the author to send you the three new books on Paula, and you can have them, and they're yours for free. And they're on First Fruits. They're, because Paula's coming out with First Fruits again this year. And would you mind it, Susan, if I just quickly told the audience what these three books are about?
No.
Okay. The first one is entitled First Fruits Palacio, Paula White Kane. And the subtitle, the secondary title to this book is, and that's the one I think you have there on your slide presentation, Paula. The book cover shows Paula with a Pinocchio nose. And that one's First Fruits Palacio. Yes, it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Well, tend to stretch the truth.
Oh, yeah. She stretches
the truth.
She's
good at it, though. I remember, she's good at it. She's made a career of it.
Yeah. So this secondary title to this one is Fact Check, Exposing the Plethora of Exegetical Lies Put Forth in the First Fruits Teaching of Serial Liar and Prosperity Gospel Huckster, Paula Michelle White.
Yeah.
So, That's that book, and it's interesting because I mean, the very word exegetical has to do with, you know, when you exegete a text, you're taking out what's originally in the text. All true Bible teachers exegete. We look at the text, and we only take out what's, you know, and we only present what's in the text. To eisegete is to put in your own information, to put in your own ideas. So she's violating the Bible when the Bible says, do not add to the word, do not take away. Well, Paul is eisegeting. And so fact-checking and exposing the plethora of exegetical lies put forth in the first fruits teaching of serial liar and prosperity gospel huckster Paula White. And this is, you know, again, it's yours.
But
you
I
can
noticed,
have it.
Yeah, I also noticed that I think it was the Huffington Post called her a seed faith huckster. Even the Huffington Post, which is a secular newspaper,
said it. Yeah, I believe it's Kirsten Powers, who is a brilliant woman. Kirsten Powers is brilliant. She's brilliant. Now, I don't agree with her liberal politics because I happen to be very, very conservative. But at least, you know, if I sat across the table from Kirsten Powers, I know that I would be talking to an intelligent person who can give me a run for my money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an intellectual equal. You know, you like people who are your intellectual equals.
Yeah.
Well, Kirsten Powers, back when Paula White first came out that she was supporting Donald Trump, Kirsten Powers called her a scam artist.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
And now I found interesting was, Paula got all bent out of shape when Shai Lin called her and 11 others false teachers. And here is Kirsten Powers. She writes a whole article on Paula in USA Today, mind you. USA Today, which is not chump change.
Yeah.
And you didn't hear a word from Paula. You didn't. And because, you know, Kirsten Powers would mop the floor with Paula White. Mop the floor with her. So, Paula, she hides. She hides. And I would really like to see Paula White and Kirsten Powers duke it out. Because Paula, you know, she called Paula White a scam artist and a huckster.
Yeah, that was over a year ago she did that article.
Yeah, and you didn't hear a word from Paula. Paula was like I mean, mum's the word. You didn't hear anything from Bradley. I wonder why Paula didn't why she didn't challenge Kirsten Powers. I wonder why.
Or she didn't file a defamation lawsuit against her.
Yeah. Well, listen.
But
if
anyway,
someone,
I mean, would you ever be open to debating Paula White on the first?
Oh, I would love to. I mean, the whole idea of the first fruits trial last year, which was an open-ended invitation to Paula or her son Bradley. Because, you know, we gave out outlines, right? And in the outlines, you have Greek words, you have Hebrew words. I mean, I document the sources of where we got all our information from, the most reputable seminary textbooks ever to line the shelves of any Bible college and seminary. So, I mean, I just wasn't talking to talk. And it was an open-ended invitation to Paula. In fact, I was announcing all of the month of December that we were going to be doing this trial starting again, and I was giving an invitation to Paula or one of her representatives. And I didn't hear from Bradley. I didn't hear from Dougie. I didn't hear from Edward Boateng. I didn't hear from Paula. I didn't hear from anybody. And if you can hook it up, Susan, if you can set it up where – I can debate Paula on your broadcast. Oh, I would love that.
Oh, she's
I would
welcome
love that.
On here. Yeah, she's welcome on here to debate with the Wolf Tracker.
So let me mention the other book, because the other book I think is tied in. The author is tying this book into Inauguration Day, and because as you know, Miss White Kane Frege.
She's
has
going
been
to
in,
pray, P-R-E-Y. She's
yeah,
going to
yeah.
pray.
Yeah, she's going to pray at the inauguration. So here's a new book coming out that is for everybody. It's you know, Paula, if you want a copy, just email the author, palacio@gmail.com, and you'll get a copy, Paula. We're not hiding anything from you. This
or
book
the
is
Wolf
entitled
Tracker 14@gmail.com, in case you
can't
remember.
Yeah, well,
right?
Well,
she can
remember Palacio because it's one of her aliases. It's she owns that title. I mean, she's Pinocchio's little sister. So she's Pinocchio's little sister. So she can get a free copy of Palacio. And from what I understand, what the author does is he goes right to her book. And,
well, here's the thing. If you don't have anything to hide, and if you're so sure of your doctrine, you should be open to debating theologians or people that have PhDs, people that have doctorates in divinity. You know, not that that always makes, you know, people Bible scholars, but you should be open to proving your case.
Yeah.
And you should be open to allowing people to ask you questions.
Sure.
About your doctrine. And you shouldn't call those people haters. And just because people question your teachings, you should be open to explain yourself. She's invited to come here anytime on my program, and let's talk.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's wonderful to have a civil conversation. You know, I know that when she's on TBN, I know that when Paula's on TBN, she has a civil conversation with the people that are there, you know, joining her at the dais. I know when she's at the Word Network and she's interviewing Mike Murdoch or Larry Huck. I mean, they're having a civil conversation. So I just want her to show up with her Greek New Testament, and let's just delve into the scriptures, and let's look at Greek words. Let's look at the Hebrew Old Testament. Let's look at the Hebrew word zakar, which she takes that word, and she does magic with that word zakar, and just shows how
like
how,
Eden.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know that Paula said she's a wordsmith, but when she talks about people eating, she doesn't say eating, she says Eden.
Yeah, just like when she wants to pronounce the word Amalekite, she goes Amakite.
Yeah.
And David was fighting the Amakites.
Mm-hmm.
No, Dr. Paula, no. It's a Amalekite.
In fact, she did call herself doctor at one time, right? Doctor, she put the doctor in front of her name.
A lot of times.
She doesn't do anymore. Yeah.
A lot of times. I mean, I have video archived from TBN. I have different TBN shows where when they're introducing her as host, they go, and Dr. Paula, why? I mean, you know. Dr. Paul, and it's there. I mean, not only are they saying it, but it's on the screen.
Well, I want to know if you call yourself doctor, and that means that you're supposed to know something about the Bible. That means you're supposed to know something about the Bible. So that means that you don't. And let me give you some scripture right now, in case some of you might be thinking, like, why are you being so mean to Paula? Well, I'll tell you what. The Bible says that a heretic, after the first and second admonition, which means telling them what they're doing wrong, that's what admonition means, to admonish somebody, reject. That's what the Bible says. Reject. So, and you won't find the word heretic in some of the newer translations of the Bible. So you could say heretic and people will look at you like, what? What are you talking about? Because it's not even in most of the modern translations. But
it's there in the original Greek. So if it's there, it's there. And it remains there.
Yeah.
Because
it remains there.
Every word in the Bible was God breathed, and we dare not change or substitute a word.
That's right. That's right. But the New Agers, or you know, some of the people that write Bibles like the Message in different translations, where they take these words out because they don't want you to know about heretics. They don't. They take the word homosexuality out, and some of the versions use temple prostitutes or something like that. Now they don't want these words that have meaning that might mean something, because they just want to have these kumbaya moments. But we have to stand on the truth of the Word of God. But
that's it.
So that was there one more that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, the second book, there's three books. The second book is entitled Inauguration Day Jackass. And in your artwork there, which is provided by the author, you have a donkey there in red, white, and blue, and he looks like a flag, the donkey there.
Yeah.
And then the secondary title is How Apopka's Jezebelic Porn Preteer and First Fruit Scam Artist, Paula White Kane, has been invited to bring her asinine brain act to Washington, D.C. So this is another timely book. And the book, she's from Apopka now. I'm you hear all the time, I'm from the fields of Apopka. Well, Apopka's Jezebelic Porn Preteer and First Fruit Scam Artist has been invited to bring her asinine brain act to Washington, D.C. That book is yours, brothers and sisters. All you have to do is ask for it. And then the final book is Apopka's Little Dunce. Apopka's Little Dunce, and there's a picture there of a young girl. She looks like Paula when Paula was in the second grade. And the secondary title to this book is Proving Paula White Kane's First Fruits Thesis is the Product of a Mental Midget, a Biblical Ignoramus, a certifiable Blockhead, the Quintessential Classroom Dunce. So that's yours, folks. That's yours also. And listen, it's a free book. The author's not making any money on it. Now, rest assured, Paula's going to be making a ton of money with her First Fruit scam this month. But the author wants to warn you to stay clear of Paula. Don't send her any money. Don't send Rod Parsley any money. Don't send any of these other clowns any money. Read these books first, because the information inside of these books applies to all of them, because they all copied Paula. You're all running with Paula's scam. She created it. She's the inventress. She pushed it. And now, since it's such a great moneymaker, they all jumped on the bandwagon, and they're using her same con.
Yeah.
So,
they're
the
using
books are
it.
Yours.
It's become
they're
very
free.
Popular, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so they can also email wolftracker14 at Gmail in case they can't remember Palacio.
Yeah, yeah. It would be preferable, because then you're dealing directly with the author. And if you send me the email, I will forward it to him.
Yeah.
But the best thing to do is palacio@gmail.com or wolftracker14. And I'm just going to forward the emails to him.
Yeah.
But, folks, you can't go wrong. Three free books on this subject. And it all comes out of Paula's books. All of this, even the inauguration jackass, that all comes from. Yeah.
Okay, so it's Paula Chio at what was it?
Gmail.com.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Palacio
gmail.com.
Gmail.com. Okay, I'm posting it in the chat room. There you go.
Yep.
Paula Chio. Yes, and now here's the thing, friends. I was listening to Paula last week. Now, she's got this mega, in the newspapers now you read that she is the pastor of a mega church in Apopka. Okay, Apopka's like a one-horse town outside of Orlando. You know, she's out in the boondocks over there in this metal building with no windows. And they claim in the newspapers, and this is how these people stretch the truth. That's why, you know, Pinocchio, somehow they send out these press releases that she has 10,000 members in this church. She pastors a mega church of 10,000 people. Well, there's not even 1,000 seats in this building. And last week there was a reporter there from, I think it was Religious News Service. Anyway, he wrote an article. Okay, he was sitting there on a Sunday morning. So he was there. He counted the people. He said there was about 400 people in the service, and he called it a cavernous building, but he said there was about 400 people there. So she doesn't have any mega church of 10,000 people. She never had a mega church of 20,000 people in Tampa, which they claim that they had this mega church. I was at that building. That building maybe could hold 4,000 or 5,000 people tops, and they weren't running 4 or 5 services on a Sunday. But Randy finally told the truth on that one, and I have the audio where he said that when we tell people how many members we have, we count the people that come for food and clothing, even if they don't belong to the church.
Wow.
So that's how they stretch. Yeah, that's what he finally admitted to, because I used to say to myself, I know they don't have 20,000 members, and I know she doesn't have 10,000 members in Apopka, but they want to make themselves, they puff themselves up, they want to make themselves bigger than they are. And also, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, she actually admitted that they just bought $100,000 worth of television equipment, and then she said that she didn't have any money for Christmas gifts for the poor. She wanted to splash and buy iPods, and she wanted to give poor families great Christmas gifts, but she didn't have the money, so she had to borrow it on the credit card, and she was asking everybody to chip in because she said she had 30 days to pay. So obviously, if you're out of cash over there, you know, First Fruits isn't working over there for them. It didn't even work for them. They should have an abundance, don't you think?
They should have, I mean, they should, well, here's the question. I mean, I know people forget what Paula say, but I mean, I have the memory of an elephant. What happened to the City of Destiny? What happened to the hospital they were going to have? What happened to the college? They were supposed to break ground in 2014.
Yeah.
There's no hospital there. There's no college. There's no... What happened to Paula's foundations where she was going to put in $1 billion? Where's Paula's shoe line? Where's Paula's where's Paula by Cloudy? I want to know.
Foundation, yeah, the foundation. Yeah, she did say that she was going to start. She wanted money so she could build, have a foundation, and they didn't even have money to pay for Christmas gifts 2 weeks ago. Anyway, let's look at this. Paula White now. If you go to paulawhite.org, we're focusing on her, but I have a couple audio clips from some other people we're going to play. But paulawhite.org, First Fruits, okay? First Fruits 2017. Look at this now. First Fruits, your opportunity to honor God. Now, everybody, this is for you. God has a principle that will release favor over your entire year. I thought favor was free. Isn't favor free, Brother Wolf Trucker?
I mean, yeah, I believe. I mean, I got it free from the Lord. I don't know how other people got it, but I got it free. Everything I got from the Lord is free.
Okay, well, Paula promises that this principle is going to release favor for an entire year. You have a special opportunity to activate the principle of first fruits as mandated by God. God declares when you come into the land which I gave you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. This divine establishment of God's order is actually the root, the foundation that governs the rest. Now, what do you make of that?
Well, it's stupid because, like Brother Roby that you had on the other day, right, who was talking about tithing, and tithing was never money, right? Tithing was the fruit of the land or your livestock, correct?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't, you know, in tithing, you can get a little bamboozled with tithing, but you're not supposed to get bamboozled with first fruits because you have the word fruit in there.
Yeah.
And fruit always tells you, you know, this is a plant. This comes from the ground. This comes off of a tree. So the Bible there in the Old Testament, and again, this is about exegeting and eisegeting. Now, Paula is inserting her own concept there, but when the Bible says that you're to bring a sheaf before the priest, it's a literal sheaf. It's, you know, it's a plant. So I don't see anybody bringing plants to Paula when they bring their first fruits offering.
If anybody's listening from the Orlando area, when you go over to New Destiny, bring her a basket of fruit and some sheep and maybe a little lamb in there.
Bring her an avocado.
Yeah.
Bring her an avocado. Bring her, you know. Bring her some lima beans.
Yeah.
Bring her some strawberries.
Yeah.
You know. Bring her some vegetables because first fruit in the Old Testament now, first fruit always had to do with agricultural produce.
Yeah.
That's what it was, and that's what it always be. You know, when the Jewish people right now, they live in Israel, right? I mean, you got millions of Jews living in Israel. And nobody in Israel gives first fruits, and they're the ones who got they were the first recipients of the Old Testament.
Yeah, they don't tithe either. They don't tithe.
They don't give why? Well, because there's no priesthood.
Yeah.
There's no temple. The text says that you're to bring it to the place where God was to put his name. Well, there is no such building in Israel.
Right.
And I can assure you that there's no such building like that in America either.
No.
So when you break it down, first fruits, this is going by Old Testament verses, which we should not, because we Gentiles should not be Judaized. By that I mean you and I, who are non-Jews and who are born again, apply to the ceremonial sacrifices and offerings of the Old Testament. That's what you call Judaizing, is to take a Gentile and to turn them into a Jew. And no one is. That's why Paul wrote the whole letter to the Galatians, to fight Judaizing. So Paula's first fruits offering, her day of Pentecost offering, her day of Passover offering, her day of atonement, those are all ways of her trying to Judaize you and me, or get you and me to conform to the Old Testament, which I don't live there anymore. I don't live under the Old Testament. There's a new contract. Paula, here's the memo. There's a new contract. It's called the New Testament.
Yeah. It's
the
based
old contract
on love.
Was done away with.
Yeah, it's based on love. Anyway, I'm going to play a couple clips here from Paula. And I have one from John Hagee. John Hagee, he really goes, he tells you you're cursed. He actually comes right out and tells you you're cursed.
He's
a nut. Anyway, let's listen to Miss Paula here for a short clip here.
We're not talking about tithe today, but the tithe is the first tenth, and it belongs to the Lord. It's holy because it governs or redeems and makes that which was unholy now holy. That's why all firstborn belong to God. I'm going to prove it through his word. That's why Jesus was the first fruit of many brethren. We're in the image of God, and the power that we have, Jesus said, I give you all power in both heaven and all authority, both in heaven and in earth, because we are the first or he is the first fruit of all brethren. So everything in him, he is now transferred to me through the covenant that he made. So anytime something is a first thing, a first fruit, it's also called a devoted thing. And God always lays claim to it. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 3. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, and evil shall come upon them. So if you touch a first fruit, it offends God, and he says evil comes upon them. Not because God sends evil, because the judgment of God is when he removes his hand from you. It's where God says, okay, I've removed my hand, and now you've opened up yourself for the enemy to devour. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 25 through 28. No one, however, may dedicate the firstborn of an animal, since the firstborn already belongs to the Lord. Whether an ox or a sheep, it is the Lord's. Verse 27. If it's an unclean animal, he can buy it back at its set value, adding a fifth of value. If he does not redeem it, it's to be sold at its set value. But nothing that a man owns and devotes to the Lord. The word devote and first fruit have the same meaning. It's the irrevocable giving over to God of what already belongs to him, whether man or animal or family or land. So watch what God says. What's he say? Man or animal. Why does he say animal? Because they were farmers. That was their bank account. That was their career. That was what they did for a living. Everything so devoted is most holy to the Lord. Now let's go to the New Testament. Romans chapter 11, verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So whatever you do with the first fruit, the first hours of your day, the first day of the week, that's why it's holy and belongs to the Lord. The first month of the year, that's why we...
Well, she's all over the map. See, she's all over the map. And in a debate, you corner her and you say, okay, you said this and this and this. And you know... The ignorance comes out of her pores. I mean, she's a very ignorant woman when it comes to the Bible. I mean, she is, you know, and I'm putting it nicely. She is
well,
a blockhead.
I think a funny thing here is that she quotes Leviticus 27. She quotes Leviticus 27. I'm looking at it here. And it says here, only the firstling of the beasts, which should be the Lord's firstling. No man shall sanctify it, whether it be an ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. And if it be an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereunto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Now, she's not telling you that you can redeem your first fruit and then sell it?
First of all, listen, all of those rules don't apply to your paycheck. When you get a paycheck, does your boss give you a lamb instead of a paycheck? Does he? No. You get a check. You get a wire transfer to your account. None of those rules there in Leviticus, not one of those rules, apply. They don't apply to you. In fact, right now in Jerusalem, there's a group of men who are studying to be priests just in case they're able to rebuild the temple and start the sacrifices all over again and all that. And there's different – I mean, this is intense training because even, you know, there's no manual on really how to do this other than little portions here and there in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. So
yeah.
So she's – how do you transfer all of that? Because, look, for Paula and for Parsley and for Hagee and for Benny Hinn and all these people who promote the first fruits thing, they never talk about all the intricacies of these Jewish laws, never. The bottom line for them is, did you send me your one-month salary? That's the,
yeah.
The bottom line with is the money.
Yeah.
And she'll read it and she'll put it up there. But she'll gloss over it, and she won't touch any of that. She won't explain any of that.
No, she doesn't explain it. Yeah.
No, the bottom line is she wants your money.
Yeah, she doesn't. She threw that thing out there about that God's going to bring evil on you if you don't obey him.
Well,
Yeah.
If you take the first fruits.
Okay. Well, here's the problem. Let me just read Ephesians chapter 1, because this is what you do. You say, okay, Paula, God's going to curse me. Is that, are you sure about that? Okay. Now, you said God, but let me show you who God is. God is my Father. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paula, this is what it says. In Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. I don't know about this God who curses. I don't know him. Because the God and Father that I serve, that's revealed to me in Holy Scripture by his holy apostles, tell me that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about, lady. When you're saying I'm cursed, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And that's really what you do. You take it to Scripture and say, okay, Paula, how do you reconcile what you're saying to this verse? How do you make the two meet? And she can't.
Exactly.
Because she's keeping you in bondage in the Old Testament, and we've been set free by a better covenant provided by Jesus Christ.
That's what New Testament means, New Testament.
Yeah,
New.
I'm blessed. And God is not just my God, but he's also my Father.
That's right.
And remember a couple of weeks ago when you did the broadcast and you played the little clip on how Bridget Hilliard was even telling her grandchildren she was serving, even her own grandchildren she was serving the Kool-Aid, that when you go to Papa, you got to divide and you got to understand that he's the man of God. So when you go see Papa, take him an offering.
Yeah, their own grandfather.
They're even pimping their own grandchildren.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Terrible.
It's terrible. I've never once walked up to my father and my mother with money in my hand to get them to do something for me. Never.
Ever. 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 Ever.
Who does that?
Ever.
Why do we treat God like that? Why do people want to treat God like that in Jesus after he died on the cross? He died on the cross. And we want to treat Jesus like that? Well, it's shameful, really. Let's play this other clip here. This is the second one I have. And then I have a doozy from Paul.
I don't just study it. I live it out. I believe God that as I put him first in everything, especially all first belong to the Lord, especially at the beginning of this year. When I honor God, because he declares, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, do not stand before me empty handed. But three times a year, he talks about standing before the Lord and bringing him an offering, a first fruits offering. When I honor God with the whole love, and maybe that's a week's salary for you, it might be an entire month. It could be a day's wage. And why do I say a day? I really believe at the least it should be a week. But that's me. You know, you have to say, God, how do I stand before you? What are you asking me? And when I send in my first fruit, the whole of it, so if I get paid $500 in a week or $5,000 in a week or $50,000, whatever it is, that whole of that first belongs to the Lord. When I give that to God, that's separate from anything else, then I know that I've honored God and laid the foundation that whatever I have need of, it shall be met. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Call the toll-free number right now. And when you sow your first fruits offering, and when you give that first fruits, I will send to you my book on first things first. It's the principle of first fruits, of putting God first in all things. It will explain everything in detail. And then for those who give $75 or more, and I don't want you to just give $75 because this is an offering of first fruits, but it does cost us money to print the material, to ship it off. And so when you give that of $75 or more, I'll give you the book, a brand new devotional that I've just written.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I have to have her devotional. I mean, notice the subtle manipulation of this woman. This woman is a terrific con artist. I have to hand it to her for that. Because she says, you know, it could be 1 month or 1 week or 1 day, but I really believe it should be a week. Now, that is called the power of suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Well, in her book, of course, she outlines. It's like, you know, when you get car insurance, if you get the cheap car insurance and you crash your car, you get nothing. And there's different, you know, Allstate, Geico, Prudential. They all have different, you know, car insurance policies. And so with Paula, it's the same thing with First Fruits. If you give the 1 month, you get the premium package.
Yeah.
If you get the 1 week, you get the middle of the road package. And if you get 1 day, you cross your fingers and count your blessings. You know.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing with Paula. Here's the thing. You know, she takes the whole month of January. She tells the church, we're going to do the Daniel fast. We're going to pray. We're going to give the month of January to the Lord. Okay, now, what's the problem with that? Okay, you give the month of January to the Lord, but then in February, March, April, May, June, you're living like a hooker. So what's the difference to give God the first month if the other 11 months you're going to live like a rotten person?
Yeah.
What's the, you know, she says, give God the first hour. Well, okay, you give God the first hours of the day, but the rest of the day you're living like a criminal.
If you don't live for the Lord all day,
that's it.
What is the 1 hour, like the first hour of the day? They try to make that like that's a holy, the first hour. What difference does it make? We're 24 hours in a day.
They're not even up when the first hour, hits the clock.
Yeah.
They're not even up.
Yeah.
They're snoring. They're snoring.
Well, at the end of this article here, Paula says, P.S., if I can lift you up in prayer for the coming year, please send me your prayer request for 2017. Remember to reap the best in 2017. You must give God your best. She forgot to put her name in there. Paula, your best. This is the only opportunity to sow a first fruits offering in a Jubilee year. I thought last year was the Jubilee year. Oh, my. We're in another Jubilee year. A Jubilee year our generation will see. Favor upon your house in 2017. Send your prayer request. Okay. Look, Paula doesn't care about your prayer request. No, Paula's not going to pray for you. She doesn't care about you. She wants your address because she wants to send you appeal letters. I should get on her mailing list because I'm on Rod Parsley's and Morris Cirillo's. I get emails. I probably should read one of his. But here's a doozy now. I'm going to play. This is a Paula White Hall of Fame doozy of a scam right here now. This is some audio from back in 2012 when Without Walls was facing some $20 million worth of debt. And, you'll hear Randy White. And Randy says, we don't have any money. There's no money left. There's nothing in our bank accounts. There's nothing in savings. And then you'll hear a clip from Paula. And Paula says that she has enough money to live on until she's 91 years old.
Oh.
Yeah. See, but Randy, this is sometime her saying this sometime around the same time that he's saying there's no money. And then at the end of the audio, you're going to hear Paula when she was living in Texas, and I guess she was dating this other huckster pastor there, some Rick somebody. Anyway, she tells the people there at this church in Texas that we need money for this house here. And if you have to sell your wedding ring, sell your wedding ring. If you need to drive one car, drive with your husband. If you sell your stocks, whatever. Yeah, you're going to hear her tell. Yeah, this is disgusting. This is what she wasn't selling her house or giving away her 91-year retirement plan, was she? She wasn't emptying out her bank account, was she? So anyway, here's this clip.
Okay.
Yeah, this is about 3 minutes.
Audit reported the church had $26 million in debt, even though it brought in $35 million that year.
Both the Tampa Church and its Lakeland campus have a lot of debts to settle in this rebuilding process. Between the two, Without Walls owes $22 million in mortgage debt and another $350,000 in bills and repairs.
The church is in a terrible financial position. They could examine everything they want right now. There's not any money in the banks. There's no savings account. It's just gone. Everything's gone.
And look, I would not sit under a man that I could not trust with my money. I wouldn't sit under it. I wouldn't.
The church is in a terrible financial position. They could examine everything they want right now. There's not any money in the banks. There's no savings account. It's just gone. Everything's gone.
Yeah, I figured out I'm going to live to be 92. I just calculated it up on the computer, and I put up my money, and I said, okay, I've got to change my lifestyle, but I can downgrade this, do that, and I've got enough that will carry me to be 108 years old. I did. I calculated it all out.
I have a nice home. You come over, we got jacuzzi, a swimming pool. I've got pool tables, air ball, fizzbo, all kinds of stuff.
Randy and Paula White have an incredible lifestyle by most standards. They own a mansion on Bayshore, an apartment in Trump Tower. Randy White drives a Bentley.
They also say that the Whites sometimes urge the Block to make checks out to them personally. This spreadsheet obtained by NBC News is $43,000 in so-called personal offerings to Paula White for one event in 2005. NBC News also saw checks made out to Randy White, the insider, and five other big equity out of their homes. In fact, the church board member says he was surprised when a 2006 audit reported the church had $26 million in debt, even though it brought in $35 million that year. This during a period when the Whites appeared to have prospered, with his $2.1 million home in Tampa, a $3.5 million condo in New York City, and salaries reported to exceed $1 million each. But also with this $170,000 Bentley convertible driven by Randy White.
White and her ex-husband were in a TV church out of Florida. Now she's at the Family Credit Center on San Antonio's Northwest Side, and she just bought another $700,000 home outside Bury. Now she's at the Family Credit Center on San Antonio's Northwest Side, even pressured the faithful to take equity out of their homes.
Some of you've given $1,000, but you should give $10,000. You need to empty your stocks, your bonds, then go ahead and write it. Tell them to put it, get my name right when they write it in the paper. Pastor Paula said to do this and make sure they spell it right. Absolutely. I sure did. You need to go put your clothes in consignment. Your wedding ring, Stacy on eBay today got $3,000 for a wedding ring that's coming to this house. Her Michael gave their wedding ring because she understands the value of this house. She understands it. Whatever you have to do, drive with your spouse. You're going, Pastor Paul, I can't believe you're asking that. How valuable is this house?
I don't know if you could believe that one. I mean, she's actually telling the people to put their clothes on consignment. How low can you go?
Well,
how low?
Let me tell you something. It's like she's got an earth driller because she likes to go low. She keeps going low and low.
I couldn't believe that one. Sell your car and drive with your husband?
Yeah.
Sell your
and that's,
consignment? Yeah. Put your clothes on consignment?
Yeah.
For some pastor? What?
Yeah.
And some Kool-Aid drinker in that church actually sold her wedding ring on eBay for $3,000. Sold her wedding ring on eBay.
How about Jim Barr's article on ESPN when he interviewed Daryl Strawberry? He didn't interview. He got the information that Daryl Strawberry put his World Series ring in the bucket at Randy and Paula's church. A World Series ring.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder if the federal investigators ever found out what happened to that ring, because, you know, if you take it to a pawn shop, because you can't take – You can't take a World Series ring and fill out a deposit slip at the bank. They're not going to take a World Series ring. So if you take a World Series ring, you got to take it to a pawn shop. What happened? The pawn shop gives you cash. What happened to that cash? Where'd that cash go? I'm sure Strawberry didn't get it.
You notice in this report, now this was done by NBC News, and it was also done by some of the local news stations. You heard some of the reporters. So that's them reporting these facts, that they took in $36 million, but yet they were 20-something million in debt.
Retards.
Yeah, where did the money go? I mean, come on. How can you blow through that much money in a year?
And really, if you add it up, if you add $36 million to $25 million in debt that they took in, that means you blew $51 million in a year.
And then the two churches, the one in Lakeland and the one in Tampa, wound up in foreclosure, and they filed for bankruptcy without walls. And the churches were bulldozed. They're not even on the face of the earth anymore.
Yeah.
So
but here's the kicker.
Prosperity gospel breed stupidity also?
But Susan, here's the kicker, right? Like you've pointed out in the past, she told New Destiny that when she left without walls, she left them with $60 million in assets.
Yeah.
Well, you just played the audio where they were $25 million in debt.
Yeah.
And Randy says, we don't have a savings. We're clean. There's nothing.
Yeah.
So
he told the reporter that when he was being interviewed.
Yeah, well, Paula didn't contest it when Randy said it, that we have nothing. She didn't, and then she turns around and tells the people over there in Apopka that she left without walls with $60 million in assets. Please,
yeah.
Lady,
I
stop.
Have the audio. I have that audio. If I might have it here. I wanted to play a few of these other audios today,
mm-hmm.
but I do have the audio where she said that she left $60 million in assets there. No, she didn't leave any $60 million in assets there in Tampa when she flew the coop to go over to the – she flew the sinking ship in Tampa and Orlando and Lakeland and went over to Apopka. But, there's no end to it. I don't care how much money the whites have. I don't care how much money the Paula has. I don't care. What I care about is I don't like lying to God's people. I don't like taking advantage of people that are vulnerable, people that are needy. Why don't you just tell people the truth, that all they have to do is pray to get things from God? They don't have to do anything else. Just pray and lead a good life. Lead a life of integrity. Do the right thing. Seek first the kingdom. And all these other things will be added. Why don't they just tell people the truth instead of scamming people? That's what I don't like. But let's play here now. I want you to hear John Hagee. Now, this is good. I don't know if you ever heard John Hagee's teaching.
Never heard him. No.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever heard this. Now, I just listened to this morning. I was surprised. I mean, how low John Hagee actually can go. He's way out there, too. But he enjoys those tithes and offerings. He enjoys those tithes and offerings over there. They've made him very wealthy. So he's feeding the Kool-Aid over there to those people at his church. So let's hear John Hagee.
And the mind of God concerning your prosperity. Read with me Exodus 34:19-20. Ready? All that open the womb are mine. And every male firstborn among your livestock, whether ox or sheep. But the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem him, then you shall break his neck. All the firstborn of your sons shall you redeem, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. Read verse 26. The first of the firstfruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. you shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Father, thank you for this, the following fruit. Get that principle in your mind. The first fruit sanctifies everything that comes after that. Putting God first in your relationship, in your life, establishes His lordship. And if He is not first, He is not Lord. And if He is not Lord, there is no blessing, there is no favor, there is no prosperity. He is Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. When you get that in your mind, now you
have
crossed
the bridge.
Yeah,
we already know that.
C.S. Lewis has said, when the first things are put first, second things increased. What does it mean to be first? First is preceding all others in time, order, or importance. It belongs to God and keeps it for itself at the expense of others. How much are you willing to lose before we get on our faces before the Lord and say, Father, where is your blessing in our lives? How many opportunities have we missed because we've disobeyed first fruits? How long before you're willing to live by the law of first fruits to enjoy the blessing, the favor, the unlimited abundance of God? The law of first fruits in tithing. Tithing is first fruits. Let's review what we have learned. God established first fruits to redeem Israel of His lordship, to remind Israel of His lordship. First fruits include children, animals, crops, fruit from the trees. God said, I want the first portion of everything that lives. When God destroyed Jericho, it was the first city conquered on the way to the promised land. It was the first fruits, and God said, bring all the gold and silver into my house, and then you can have everything else in the next nine cities. He did not say, conquer all 10 cities and give me the 10th. Give me what's left. God says, I'll take what's first. When Achan took some of that gold and silver for himself, he became accursed. Your income is either consecrated or it's cursed. You hear what I just said? The tithe in Scripture is consecrated to the Lord. If you keep it for yourself, it becomes cursed because it's stolen from God. I didn't say that. I'm too timid to say a thing like that. But it is recorded right here in Malachi 3 when it says, well, a man robbed God, yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? God says, you have robbed me in the tithe and the offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. God is keeping records. The tithe is 10%. When a redemptive work is in progress, there's always the number of 10. Listen to what I'm saying. When a redemptive work is in progress, there's the number 10 involved. There were 10 plagues that were used to set Israel free from Pharaoh. There were 10 commandments that were given to the children of Israel, chiseled in stone. Now, let me tell you something. Those 10 commandments still stands. I don't care what Washington thinks about them. They are still the law of God.
The people are applauding. They're applauding.
The 10 donkeys were sent by Joseph to bring Jacob and all of Israel out of poverty to the rich lands of Goshen and Egypt. The 10th part of your increase brings increase to redemption of your income. Is it possible to give 10% of your income and not give the first fruit? Yes. The tithe, according to the law of first fruit, should be the first 10% of your income that breaks the curse over poverty.
Now, stop!
Well,
talk about an ignoramus.
Yeah, he's ignorant on a lot of levels. Because he says first fruits were your children. And now look what he said. He said first fruits are your children, their livestock, their produce. I'm glad he said that because he didn't say money.
No.
See, he said.
No, it's not in there. It's not in there.
Exactly. So then you ask him, okay, then why are you asking me for money if you said first fruits was children? See, and what you do is you take them step by step.
You have to boil the lamb or whatever.
Yeah. You take them step by step. And the reason why God said don't boil the lamb in the mother's milk is because that's what the Canaanites did as an offering to their idol gods.
Yeah.
See, so it has nothing to do with not giving the first fruits.
Yeah.
You know, so Listen, this guy's a con man. He's a con man.
Yeah, he's a good con man. He's another good one.
Yeah. And he, you know what they
do. I didn't know I was cursed. I didn't know that. I thought I was redeemed from the curse. Like, what, the Bible's not true?
Yeah, you see, the 10 donkeys that Joseph sent have nothing to do with first fruits. The 10 plagues have nothing to do with first fruits.
No,
the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments have nothing. But you see, they include all of that.
Yeah, that
to
has
sound
nothing
spiritual.
To do with tithing. It's the number 10.
Exactly. Exactly. And by the way, Brother Hagee, how about preaching a message on gluttony? How about preaching a message on, you know, controlling your eating?
Yeah. We can obviously, you know, some of our listeners might be overweight. We're not talking to you, but if he's going to get up there and he's going to talk about control over himself, this man.
If you're going to be that excited about money all the time, because they really get excited about money, and then they don't touch any of the other subjects in the book of Proverbs.
Yeah.
They don't touch any of those subjects. And what I mean by gluttony is when you turn food into your God. And many Christians turn food into their God, into their crutch. I'm not talking about people. My side of the family, we are genetically overweight. It's in our DNA. Our women are big, so I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the out of because you can be out of control sexually. You can be out of control when it comes to food. You can be out of control when it comes. So these people want you to be in control, but they're out of control.
Yeah. Right. Right, definitely out of control. I mean, I never heard such. I was astonished because I never listened to his teaching on first fruits, but I pulled this thing up this morning. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He's another one. He's all over the place, and he's trying to make people believe he's saying something, but he's not really saying anything except that if you don't bring me your money, you're going to be cursed.
That's it. That's it. And, like, you know, that's one of the major things that they do. They go all over the place. They show you all the different 10 things in the Bible. And, 10 commandments, 10 plagues.
You notice the people were applauding. They didn't even know what they were applauding for, but yet they were applauding. For what? The guy is beating you up and lying to you.
And extorting you. I mean,
they like it. They like it.
He's arm twisting you, and he's telling you that your father's going to curse you.
Yeah. He says, I wouldn't say that. I didn't say that. Obviously, you didn't read Malachi or whatever he said. He can't even pronounce it. But, Mr. Hagee, you're also welcome to come on.
Anytime.
And if you want to debate the wolf tracker here, you're also welcome.
Anytime.
Here's
the other thing that they don't tell you when they talk about Jericho, right? And how Achan took the spoils and Achan was killed because he took the first fruits. Well, first of all, when you look at the text in the Hebrew language, in the original language, you never find the Hebrew word bereshit in there in the entire text. You don't find it. In Joshua chapter 6, you don't find it. It's not taught. The Bible, when the Bible says an accursed thing in Hebrew, that is the word herem. Translated from Hebrew, the Hebrew lettering into the English language, it's spelled H-E-R-E-M. A herem is a devoted thing. It means that all of it must be destroyed. No one can enjoy any of it. It all has to be destroyed. Now, and you don't destroy a first fruit. You don't destroy a tithe. You don't a herem is, and basically what God is saying is that when He judges the wicked, He destroys them and everything associated with them. So there's no first fruits being mentioned there, and the reason why Achan was killed, not because he took a first fruits, but because he touched the herem, which God said all of it had to be destroyed.
Yeah,
and that word herem, you'll find it attached to military maneuvers when you find battles, and God on occasion will say, utterly destroy them. Destroy everything. Don't take a shoelace. Just get rid of all of it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And obliterate it. And so
yeah,
it's
that's
not
what
a first
Abraham
fruits.
Did. He didn't take a shoelace when he gave
yeah.
the spoils of war.
That's right.
Anyway, here's another minute and 23, if you could stand it, of Hagee.
Okay.
...of your income. Is it possible to give 10% of your income and not give the first fruit? Yes. According, the tithe, according to the law of first fruit, should be the first 10% of your income that breaks the curse over poverty. Now, for those of you who have been members of this church for a few years, just indulge while I repeat this for people who are seeing this here, and those who are watching by television, gasping for breath, about to pass out and fall off the couch. Here I'm lining up 10 $100 bills. This is a low-budget demonstration of God's financial prosperity. They're $100 bills. They are $1,000 bills. It doesn't make any difference. Here are 10 of them. You don't pay your house, your car, your utilities, your poodle shampoo, and other things, and then give God this. God doesn't want this, even though it's 10%. He doesn't want it. He wants this one. Because that puts him first.
They're applauding. They're
yeah.
applauding. He tells them, don't pay your mortgage.
Yeah, yeah.
They're applauding.
Yeah. Yeah, don't pay your mortgage.
No.
And you know, what they fail to realize is that the church is not a corporation. The
no.
church is a family.
Yeah.
And in the church, love prevails. Love. Love for God, love for the saints, love for the lost. That's so my motivation in giving is I love God. I love
yeah.
my brethren. And the reason why I love my brethren is because I give financially to support Sunday school, to support this other thing, to support that. I do it out of love, not because it's a great investment. It's better
yeah.
than stocks. It's better than
yeah,
Wall Street.
Yeah.
It's better. No. God so loved me and the world that he sent his only. I reciprocate by loving. This is a
yeah.
love fellowship. That's what it's about. Now, if you have to scam me into giving, that's not God. If you have to twist my arm, if you have to be like the mafia and come in and tell me, you know, I'm giving you protection, I need
yeah.
my 15%.
Yeah.
No, that's not the church.
No, that's not the church. That's the false church, the beast church, but that's not the church, the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
And that's not the church. That's what
yeah.
we're trying to change. That's what we want to change, is the thinking. How does the world perceive Christianity? How do they perceive it? Even the world, it recognizes that these people are scam artists. There was an uproar in the press. And you can, like I said last week, go on your search engine and search Paula White Trump inauguration. There was an uproar by the news media calling her a scam artist and a huckster and shady and all kinds of descriptive adjectives. Would they recognize it? How do they perceive us? We want to change that. We want to change that perception if we can. And we have a long way to go.
And here's the thing, Susan. Evangelicals, the term evangelicals
yeah.
has to do with us caring about souls,
yeah.
right? All evangelicals have to do with evangelism, with the evangel, with the preaching of Christ, with the winning of souls. That's what
yeah.
evangelicals are known for.
Yeah.
Prosperity gospel preachers are known for money.
Yeah.
So Paula's trying to call herself an evangelical. She doesn't care about souls. She rips them off.
Yeah, she does.
She doesn't care about people. She doesn't care. She rips them off.
Yeah.
So No, she's not an evangelical. She's a heretic.
No, don't insult me, please.
Yeah,
she's
a charlatan. She's
Don't insult me. Don't talk about evangelicals and then put that group of people in the mix. That's what
mm-hmm.
we're trying to change. Don't put them in the mix. No.
Yeah.
No.
Don't put Wayne T. Jackson. Don't put Samuel Rodriguez in there.
No.
Don't put Franklin Graham. Don't put any of those. They're not evangelicals. They're not evangelicals. The closest one there is Franklin Graham, and I have major problems with him. So,
yeah.
You know, and he's the closest one to an evangelical.
Yeah, of the mix.
But
Samuel Rodriguez. I don't know who is advising Mr. Trump. I don't know who, but, you know, if anybody could send a message to Mr. Trump, these people are not evangelicals. Wayne T. Jackson, Paula White, and Sammy Rodriguez. They don't represent the true evangelical church.
And here's the thing, Susan, and this is how we can prove it. This is how we know that Paula is not an evangelical, because what does Paula preach? She preaches first fruits. Now, in the New Testament, there are 8 scriptures that talk about first fruits. 8. 2 of them deal with Christ. The other 6 deal with souls.
Yeah.
So think about it. Christ is the first fruits, the major first fruits, and then all of the other first fruits is the harvest of souls. So
yeah.
The fact that Paul is focusing on money tells me she's not an evangelical, because New Testament first fruits is about soul winning.
Yes.
And all the verses that deal with New Testament of first fruits is about soul winning.
Yes.
So she can't be an evangelical if she's focusing first fruits on money.
Yeah.
It's simple.
Yeah.
It's simple.
It's not hard to figure out.
It's not hard.
I don't know why Mr. Trump and his advisors haven't figured it out, but hopefully before Inauguration Day they will. But let's play. I have one more clip here to play, and then we're going to close the program.
Okay.
Let's play Robert Morris. Robert Morris there. And, Robert, you're welcome. You're welcome to come on here, Robert. You're welcome to debate us. We'd love to have you on. Come on anytime.
We're to give the first one to God, the firstborn. The reason was that took faith. So it didn't take faith to wait until your sheep had 10 and then give one of them to God. It took faith to give the first one when you only had the promise or the hope of more.
Passage of Scripture. We'll go through some others, but we'll just look at one. Exodus 13. We'll just go to one. Exodus chapter 13. And as you're getting to Exodus 13, let me just say this. This is, in my opinion, the most important message in the series. We're in the series called The Blessed Life, and this is probably the most important message in the series. The title of this message is The Principle of First. The Principle of First. Now, I want to make this statement. If God is first in your life, then everything will come into order. Now, I'm not saying you won't have difficulties or problems or go through struggles. Jesus said in this world you'll have tribulation. But would you rather go through tribulation with everything in order or everything out of order? And hear me, if Jesus is first, if God's first, everything will come into order in your life. If He is not first, then nothing will come into order in your life. God has to be first for there to be order in your life. So I want to show you this principle, because this principle is a principle that runs all through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. Here, so let's start Exodus chapter 13. Look at verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. It is mine. It belongs to me." I wish that I could adequately explain to you how emphatic the language is in the Hebrew here. This phrase, "it is mine." It is my property. It belongs to me. I'm the owner.
No,
it's extremely emphatic. It's very important to understand that when we talk about the principle of first. the firstborn, he says, belongs to me. Okay, now look at verse 12. That you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. Very similar language in the Hebrew, shall belong to God. They'll be the Lord's. But every firstborn, now we'll talk about this, of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Very important. A donkey will be redeemed with a lamb. Now watch this phrase. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. It's very important to understand that if you don't redeem it, you're going to lose it anyway. And I want you to apply that as we talk about the first of our finances, the first 10%. He says, if you don't bring it to me, you're going to lose it. You're still going to lose it. It's going out of your account.
You are such a liar.
So I want you to turn to...
What a liar.
Give the first one to God, the firstborn.
Did you ever hear such lying in your life?
Well, here's the thing, Susan. Why is it that they don't... If that's the case, right? So why is it that on First Fruits January... Why is it that no one is presenting their firstborn son to the Lord?
Yeah, why are they bringing babies up there and their
exactly,
new,
and saying this one belongs to the Lord?
And their new pussycats.
Yeah, these belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
Look, it's all about the money. It always will be. And if people can understand, if each sermon ends with an offering run, each service, that's the guideline. If this is going to end, if this whole talk is going to end about me giving you money, I got to run.
Yeah.
I got to hightail it out of here.
Absolutely.
That's it.
That's way to recognize if you're being scammed, is if the whole hour of preaching finishes off with an offering. Yeah.
That's it. That's
if the
it.
Whole
Just
thing
run.
Is geared about you to open up your checkbook.
That's it. Just run. You know, and Susan, look. There are so many things to talk about in the Bible, so many wonderful things to talk about. You know, a preacher can take a whole series for the whole year, just preach on God the Father, and just break that apart. And after a whole year, you come to church 52 weeks out of the year, and you just hear one sermon after the other, the fatherhood of God. I mean, you're going to leave there understanding that he doesn't want your money. He's not seeking your money. He can care less about your money. He wants a relationship with you.
Yeah,
and he sent his son that you might have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything else falls into place. Yeah.
That's it.
We live our lives. We try to do the right thing. We go to work every day. And we earn an honest living, and we try to do our best as Christians. I just can't believe the how insane it has become, really, and how these people really. Hagee, he has quite a big congregation. So does Morris. Morris has a huge congregation, and he has. Other churches, branch churches too. So I don't understand it, but hopefully we can change it in a small way anyway, to try to get people to realize what's happening and to try to effect a change anyway. So let's your book again, your email.
If you want the three books, Palacio, Inauguration Day Jackass, and Apopka's Little Dunce, you can email the author at palacio@gmail.com. If that's too hard for you, then just email the wolftracker14@gmail.com. I will forward him the emails, and the books are going to start being released on the 18th of January. So you can get them in time for this month, because they all three of them deal with first fruits, and you're going to be blessed. So don't send anybody anywhere any first fruits offering.
No,
read the books
no.
first. Read the books first, and then just be blessed. All right? So
yeah,
it's Palacio.
I mean, pay your bills. Pay your bills.
Yeah.
Pay your bills. Pay your mortgage. Pay your light bill. Don't be not paying your bills and bringing money to some preacher. Don't
put oil. Put oil in your furnace. Put oil in your tank.
Take care of your family. God says if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than infidel. These people don't care. No. Don't pay your bills. Bring your 10% over here or else. That sounds like the mafia.
Sure it does.
But John Hagee, Robert Morris, Paula White, you're all welcome here on my program. I know, Paula, you're talking about kumbaya moments over there. So come on. We'll have some conversation here, and we'll see what happens. But you're all welcome to come on my broadcast to call in, and we'll talk. So, Brother Wolf Tracker, thank you very much for coming on.
Oh, I love coming on with you. Thank you for having me. It's always a treat, and I enjoy it. We'll continue to do. Yep. God bless.
God bless. Amen. So we all learned something today for sure. And so I want to thank everybody that tuned in today. Everybody in the chat room, thanks for stopping by. And I've got some great football games on today. We'll see who's going to the Super Bowl, right? It's going to get interesting. And then football season is over. And I love football, so I'm not looking forward to the end. But let's pray for our country. Let's pray for our future president that he truly gets the wisdom of God, especially about the so-called evangelicals that are surrounding him and advising him, that God would put some true godly people around our leaders, and they can pray for them and let them hear the word of the Lord from people that really have a love for God with no ulterior motives. Amen. So the most important thing today is, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you born again? Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So confess your sins today. Ask Jesus to forgive you. He will forgive you of all your sins and give you a brand new life. And it is a beautiful life to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a member of his kingdom, to know that we have eternal life. We believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven in the body. He's a real person. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming again. He's coming again. Hallelujah. So be blessed today. And don't forget to tune in next week. I'm going to have Jackie Alnor on next week. And we always have a good time with Jackie. So don't forget to tune in and be a part of our program. God bless you today.
your say.